Hi, everybody. Welcome back to No Killing Goblins. Today's episode, we're going to have two guests and no Dragonus. He's still sick, and we have no choice but to accept that. Say hello, guests.
Hello, it's me, Mr. Muffins, here again. I don't have much else to say right now. My brain went blank. It's fine, you can keep that in. I'm an idiot. Hello.
I like it. That's a great intro.
What about yours? You're supposed to introduce yourself.
I don't
yourself.
Have an intro. I'm things. Dylan. That's what happens. I'm Dylan. I've edited the podcast once. I've been on the podcast twice, I think. I make fun of Oshi's opinions on the regular.
That's a good hobby to have.
Oh, I know.
Why are you guys ganging up on me? Look, I invited you here. I said I liked you. Can't you at least give me some respect?
We have to get it out. We have to talk about Ryoka for an hour, like you just said, so.
Oh, my God. wait, there was a redemption arc about to happen for today's episode. So Mr. Muffins froze up when I asked him.
I didn't freeze, okay? I just forgot that I had opinions. And that is, there's a difference.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that freezing would be like something worse, okay? Whereas not having opinions is just like when your brain forgets that it's part of a human being.
I see. So it's one of those things that's like a fine line between the two.
Yeah, I am fine. That is true. But I'm ready for my redemption. Hit me.
All right. So I asked him, and you can answer this afterwards, Dylan, what were your three favorite books? Mm-hmm. Top three favorite books.
Okay.
Even if it's not, it doesn't have to be all time. It can just be this year if you want. But
yeah, I'll go with it's a mix of this year and all time. I think this year I read the Iconoclast trilogy, which was really good. And then just in general, anything Terry Pratchett. And then my ultimate guilty pleasure, which is objectively not a good book, Goblin Slayer, but I have a thing for broken people, and the main character is a very broken man.
Wait, I'm trying to remember what Goblin Slayer is.
It's like,
there's a lot of...
It peddles the opposite message of The Wandering Inn, really.
Wait, is Goblin Slayer the
anime? Like the light novel?
Yeah, it's a light novel.
Oh, I read the first few novels of that recently, actually.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I think it was pretty good. I don't know if it was going to go where, like, I enjoyed it. I'll leave it at that without getting too much
into it. Again, it's objectively not amazing, but I enjoy the kind of,
I think the first novel or two was, I think better than the next, like, two or three that I read. Mm. So at that point, I was kind of like,
it's ups and downs. Again, guilty pleasures. But there we go. Redemption done.
Redemption done. Okay, how about you, Dylan?
I really like the Halo books. If you read like the first three or four, the Halo series is kind of weird, where it follows like the video games, and then the books kind of go off and like into different perspectives. So the first like three or four are definitely some of my favorites. I really like the Mistborn series. What else? I think Ender's Game is pretty good too. And then what is it, like the Inheritance series or something like that? I forget what it's called, but
are you done?
Those are my top ones.
Okay, so Dylan is trash.
You already knew Dylan, that, Oshi.
Dylan is extreme trash, because the only reason I asked this question was to judge judge Muffin, but now I'm just living in this moment of extreme pain as Dylan has gone through every reductive Aragorn, fucking Mistborn.
Okay, well, you know what?
The hell's wrong with you?
I also really liked reading the Domestic Girlfriend manga, so.
Ooh. Now that's questionable taste.
Okay.
Indeed, it is.
The pain of this experience I will not forget. But I guess I should have expected no better from you and your trash taste.
Thank you. Anyway. Thank you. I wear pride.
I think it takes a brave person to admit to their trash taste. I'm with you there. It's like what you like. Yeah.
Exactly.
Own it. Own it.
All right. Since they share their particular tastes, I guess I will have to as well.
I mean, if you must.
I will have to listen. Fuck you. Fuck you both so hard. I will say that I didn't really ask for series. I asked for books, but I'll go with series. So the Miles Vorkosigan books, and just about anything by Lois McMaster Bujold, The Earthsea Cycle by Ursula Le Guin, and let's see, what else really hit those sweets? I guess if we go trashy novels, it's not really trashy, but it is kind of trashy. The Innkeeper series, but not The Wandering End, the Innkeeper series by Ilona Andrews. It's just fucking nuts. The amount of blood, guts, and occasional sex there is in that. So that was great for me.
Never heard of it. Might not look know. Into it.
no culture weirdos. All the weebs. So, moving on. We usually take a few minutes since Dragonus isn't here, but we can do this. How was your week, guys? What did you do this week? I can start while you think about it. I had the strangest week ever. It began with depression, then with sickness, then with messing up at work, then fucking up another job that I had to do. And now I'm in a place where I'm just like, what is wrong with me? And that's all going through my head the entire time. Meanwhile, the weather outside is sunny.
Wow.
Uplifting, as always. Follow that up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my week was pretty good. I've been rather productive, and you know, it's just like, you know, some weeks you have where you're not there the entire time, you know, just trying to like coast through, get stuff done. But I feel like I was actually like, I don't know, present, getting things done. So it's always a good feeling. That was kind of the general, I don't know, mood of my week, I guess. So I give it a thumbs up.
Okay. Just before Sir Muffins begins his rant about his week.
Oh, sir.
Did you send me an email in an attempt to neg me of something? What is going on? I was looking at reader emails. This is you, isn't it? This motherfucker's you. Just admit it.
I did not send any emails. I'll be honest. I thought about it.
It wasn't you. I'm talking about Muffin.
Well, I didn't. I didn't send. I've sent you a lot of things this week, but none of them were emails.
It's a 3-page long email that you sent 3 days ago. I know it's you. It's gotta be
you. I didn't send an email. Why? What was the contents of the email?
Okay, a Mr. Bolin.
That's not my name.
That's not your name. Okay, we're fine then. Sent I thought it was a really long email because he's been, but I asked him to like, so Muffins does recaps on the Reddit that everybody quite enjoys because he's, he writes well. And the thing is, I mentioned sending reader email and he promised or threatened to send a very long email. And I looked today and there's one from a Mr. Bolin and it's very long. And the first, like at the end, he asked me the question. One, Oshi, do you regret asking for new readers' experiences?
No, it wasn't me. I swear down.
Okay.
I don't know what to swear on, but if I had something that was important to me, I would swear on that.
I'm going to copy this over so y'all can read it, and then we'll talk about it at the end of the podcast, I think. It's one of those long things that requires some...
Ooh, some light reading from Oshi.
Yeah, some light reading from me. I'm sending it over, hold on. That one and that one.
Also, Muffins, I do like your Reddit recaps.
Thank you.
I mentioned.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
I browse it every once in a while, and I think I mentioned it. Oh, she's like, oh yeah, no, come on the podcast. He's gonna be with us again or something like that. So I was like, okay.
They were a very random start. I don't usually do stuff like that, but it's been fun little writing exercise. Yeah, been enjoyable. Going alongside it.
I want to say one thing. There's a person who left a comment on one of the podcasts, I think volume 8, the end. Your name is Reaver. I cannot directly respond to you, so if you're a listener, send me an email so I know what the hell you're talking about, because this is Reaver's comment. I don't agree, so I'm going to yell. It is like listening to a fanboy toddler and is getting old. Any chance that Oshi can have a time out and miss the next couple of episodes?
Well, I can translate for you. I think he was telling you to get fucked in, like, nice ways.
I assume so, but about what? Just my demeanor and existence?
Yeah. It's just one
sometimes
of those...
Sometimes that's enough, Oshi. Yeah.
He asked you to sort of cease your existence temporarily. But I like that okay. He specified only for a couple of weeks. So it's like he can take you, but just in moderation. Which I think is a really weirdly nice thing for somebody to say. Like, because he didn't tell you to get lost completely. So I think that's quite nice. I think you should hit it up.
I guess we have to look for the silver lining in the insults.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Maybe he was just concerned for you and thought that you needed a break. Like, maybe you just sounded tired. Like, if you want a gold lining, we could go with that one.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, you're putting too much work into Doshi, you know? Yeah. Everyone needs a break once in a while. You deserve it.
Chill out.
Yeah. Right. So, we do have two emails. We'll get to them at the end of the podcast because one's long and the other one is very nice and I want to respond to it properly. So, y'all tell me about your weeks. What's going on? You said yours was good, right, Dylan?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, for the most part, it's been, I judge a lot of my stuff by being productive or feeling productive, like, throughout the day, so I can, like, relax later. So, it was one of those weeks where I was on instead of off, I guess. Didn't have anything too crazy going on. Part of my family has been, they were out of, country for vacation, so I had to deal with the dogs for, a couple days, but... Now they're back, and I don't have to deal with the dogs and feeding them. And, you know, she gives meds to them and everything. It's like, a big responsibility.
I guess. All right. What about you, Mr. Muffins? You were telling me a story about how your week's been going.
Well, that wasn't a week. That was just a day in which I was severely wet. Wetter than I usually am. Because it was a nice day this morning when I left the house to go to work, and I looked at the weather, like the app, not just like the outside, and it said that it wasn't going to rain today, and it said if it was going to rain, it would be a very, very light shower. So I thought, well, that's okay. I won't take my jacket. And it was nice. It was a sunny day all day. Almost too nice, really. I don't actually like the sun. I hate it. I have the physical constitution of a snowman, so it doesn't really sit well with me. But, you know, it was sunny. It was.
Wait.
What?
A snowman?
Yeah, I melt. It's a shit joke. Let me continue with the story. So, it was nice and dry. And then I walk from work to the bus stop to get home on the bus. And then in that sort of 10-15 minute interval of where I walk outside, that is when the heavens opened and then pissed all over me the entire time. So the weather sort of was correct. It was dry most of the day. It just wasn't a light shower. It was a very heavy, elongated shower. And I just felt really stupid, you know? I got caught out. I thought, I always take my jacket. Even when it's scorching, I usually would rather burn than take the chance. But today I thought I'd be adventurous. And I'm just not cut out for adventure.
Don't you hate it when it's like that? That one time you decide not to do something.
Yeah.
It's always that one time.
Every time. But apart from that, it was a very normal week. I went to work. I lamented the fact that I had to go to work. I tried not to spend all my time at work reading The Wandering Inn because I do need to keep my job.
Failure.
Yeah.
You failed. We know. I know.
Like, you failed. No, I didn't fail. I partially succeeded. It was just a normal week. Nothing much excitement happened. I just read, I worked, and I sent you messages at all times of the day.
Okay. Well, that was our weeks, folks, and we're very boring people. Because I don't think any of us shared real personal information here. Maybe if this was a different podcast and had a different audience, I'd describe the other things I did this week, but I can't. But here we are, our week has been described. Have you guys been watching anything on TV or like media wise or news? That's pretty cool.
I've caught up with actually a new episode came out today, The Boys on Amazon.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
I that need to started watch that episode up. Later.
Yeah, third season started, and I think they released the first three episodes all at once, and then they're doing like one episode a week now.
Mm. Yeah. So
Fridays is when it comes out, and I haven't watched that yet. But yeah, I caught up on that as far as, I don't know, non-weeb media goes.
Speaking of the one episode a week thing, all the sites that have like host shows and stuff like Netflix and Amazon, they finally figured out that they can't continually grow anymore, so now they're turning back into networks. So things are being released one at a time, and they're charging more, and they're trying to crack down on... Like, I've lived long enough to see the internet break cable TV, and then cable TV come back on the internet.
It's not an exciting time. I prefer binging, really. So it just means I have to wait longer.
Well, so, I mean, it means you get to be part of the conversation, right?
Yeah, but you can have the conversation after the fact. I've never really understood that. I mean, I get the argument, you know, because people want that ongoing conversation. But I'm like, just have a big fucking conversation at the end.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big binger when it comes to media and stuff as well. There'll be like a few shows that I'll watch series that I read on a weekly basis, but for some that I either fall off on or I just kind of bookmark, I'm like, eh, I'll come back once I get like a large amount of content to consume at once.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't love the binge. I don't have any preference. It depends on the show because it changes how the story is told, right? With the binging stuff, all of the shows turn into movies. You know, the storytelling structure was movies and stuff. But when you do week to week, people like, you have to sort of make it cliffhangery. It's like the difference between how The Wandering Inn does it and how a novel would do it if they were from a traditional published thing. We have to create one complete story within a book versus The Wandering Inn making like hundreds of stories inside of stories inside of stories, and they can just keep it going in endlessly because it's a serial and nobody expects you to like completely finish everything all at the same time. Anyway, not to go too far off topic, let's go back to The Wandering Inn, right? So, our first chapter is going to be chapter 2.29, and it starts off with Azkarash.
Yeah, we get his perspective for a little bit, don't we?
Yep. So, this is the first introduction of Azkarash the Necromancer. We've heard rumblings here and there of a famous being named the Necromancer, and now we get to find out that his name is Peril Chandler, Peril to his friends. And I have a question for you, Muffins. How do you pronounce his first name?
Like, yeah, you know, his necromancer name or his name?
No. His English name.
Like Peril Chandler?
Yeah, is it Peril? I
would say Peril. Doesn't that make sense? It seems thematically interesting, phonetically, right?
Yeah, because there's literally a word called, that's, you know, peril when you put so here's what is pirates this is pirates naming convention. You used a word, a proper word, as a person's fucking name, and within the first paragraph, first you fixed it so that it didn't copy, and then the next one is exactly like p-e-r-i-l. Y'all didn't notice this. Am I the only one who noticed this?
Oshi, I'll be real with you.
Yeah,
I didn't notice anything about the names. I know characters later on in the story have
in the chapter, Dylan, pirate names him properly with two R's, p-e-r-r-i-l, Chandler, and then the very next sentence renames him as just Peril.
Okay, definitely didn't notice that.
I'm the only one. Okay,
could just be a typo.
I think it's a typo. It's gotta be it. It's a nickname. His nickname is his name is Peril. They nicknamed him Peril.
He didn't have very inventive friends, is what I've learned there.
Thank you. Like, somebody noticed it. Either pirate's not inventive or his bullies were really bad.
Yeah. I mean, I like it as as a nickname because it's funny. Like, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, if you were hanging around with this dude and you sort of knew him for a while, you go like, this guy's a bit perilous, isn't he? And they're like, snap, I got it. Peril.
Oh my goodness. What a nickname.
When you're young, your nicknames are like Nutbag or something, not Peril. Or what was
Who
it?
Who the heck was calling you Nutbag?
I don't know.
That is a more interesting story. Yeah, like what did you do to get called Nutbag?
It just sounds like the kind of name that some stupid boys would give each other. Like, they call each other Patsy or some dumb shit like that. Or
what was going on in your childhood?
or Trixie with the peanut head, as the South would do. But you
I didn't go to school where we gave people weird names. What did you say, Atsy before?
Patsy, yeah, Patsy. Patsy's a good nickname. Patsy.
I don't know.
Okay, Yoshi. My nickname was Dill Pickle. You know, Dylan. So, yeah, that was mine.
Okay, to bring it back, but I guess I'm the only one who like picked up on it from our little group. You guys are the only
one in the world, maybe. It could be. You can claim that title until somebody proves you wrong, I suppose.
Okay, so what did you guys think of the chapter? Whoever wants to start first, go out.
The chapter is like a whole?
Yeah, it's a whole. Just tell me about what you thought about it.
Okay, where did it... I don't know where it ended, but I thought it was pretty good because it also gave us the first introduction to some other bigger characters, which I completely forgot.
Spoilers! We can't talk about how big the characters become.
He meant physically large.
I mean, one's a general, which is introduced in the chapter, and another one's a warlord.
Nah, I'm just fucking with you. Yeah, you're fine.
I feel like that's pretty big. Do we have any context of what a warlord actually is?
I don't think so.
It's name-dropped this chapter, but...
I don't think there was any context given prior to this. When you read the name, you would just assume they're not some kind of nobility and...
Yeah, like yeah. Lord or something like that. Yeah. So, general impressions is, she walks into a war, it's like, oh my goodness, this is what war looks like. Completely traumatized and meets some big bigwigs from both sides. I think some of the other stuff I want to talk about is in the next chapter, but I would need to...
Yeah, you can talk about the next... We're talking about both. It's okay. You can connect the two together if you like.
Because, yeah, I feel like this is, like, set up for...
You know what? Let's... Okay.
For the second chapter.
Honestly, it is. Like, the two chapters kind of pair together very... They're supposed to be one story told in two parts, and it ends on a cliffhanger on the first part, which is... when the soldiers charge into Ilvers' camp after Ryoka funnily blows up a stink bomb in that poor woman's face.
That part was absolutely great. It's just, it's one of those things where like, yeah, okay, I can understand Ryoka wanting to be out of there. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either, but just, how can we make this a... how can we escalate this problem in classic Ryoka fashion? And then she dips.
I mean, technically...
Books it out of there.
Yeah, the plot line is pretty basic. Ryoka arrives at a battlefield, gets captured, gets interrogated, blows up a stink bomb, leaves in an attempt to escape, and gets caught up between a fight between two armies.
That's classic hero's journey right there, really.
Yeah, that's... Right. Mm-hmm. It's how you can tell that this is an epic tale.
I think it was fun, like in like you were saying there, just once again Ryoka getting in over her head and then never really showing any sign of respect to anyone who clearly...
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. It's just like, ugh.
Like, you could maybe have smoothed things over a little bit had you like she'd shown a little bit of not reverence, but acknowledgement that this seems to be somebody mildly important, but it just sort of in lesser words told them all to go fuck themselves, which I admire, really. I did, you know, that's...
You gotta respect her
for
that.
Yeah, I do. Like, there's a sort of... There's a recklessness. When you get to a certain level of recklessness, and I was saying this on the previous episode as well, like, when you get so reckless that it just seems insane, you go like, yeah, I'll applaud that. Like, you're crazy as fuck, but I dig it.
You got good on you. I don't want anything to do with you. Stay away from me. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, you stick to what you're doing.
It's like, I want no part of whatever plan you're cooking up, but I will happily watch from the sideline and watch as the world burns around you kind of situation.
Yes, very much agree.
I think what stood out to me this chapter was, well, in hindsight, there's a bunch of shit that stands out, but I liked the introduction of, well, it's not really an introduction, it's a continuation of the way the Fae mm-hmm. are interacting with Ryoka, because it's...
Oh, that was hysterical.
I know, that's what I'm talking about. I got the stink bomb stuff, it was funny, but I'm, like, it's a little absurd, too, but what struck me is the way Ryoka is finally, like, adapting to her interactions with the Fae and trying to stop, like, trying to get them to give her information, and somehow she thinks she's gonna get it, even though the Fae are, like, millions of years old and have...
Yeah, just,
again, it's that, it's
you guys another story.
Yeah. I mean, she's trying, and it's amusing to both me and the Fae, so I thought that was, that part was interesting. The thing that stood out, though, was that it was a singular voice that was speaking back to her from the Fae. A feminine person. We don't know which of the Fae it is exactly, but it is one Fae. Excuse me. One Fae speaking back to her throughout this whole thing, which is pretty fucking interesting, you know?
Yeah, and there's also, like, the fact that if you look into a lot of what the Fae says, they're having one of my favorite lines, but one of the more interesting lines in 2.29 is the discussion about magic, where the Fae essentially says, magic here is so silly, tears, more nonsense for you playthings and fools. And I kind of like that you're kind of alluding to some sort of grander magic in the background, perhaps the acknowledgement that the tears and the leveling is all something that they recognize as a joke, really, like something that's not genuine to them. They're just kind of an interesting comment.
Yeah, I think it makes the Fae look, I don't know, it's grand, I guess, is a decent word to put to it. Because, like, yeah, like, okay, you can, you silly mortals have your fancy magic that is really just... I don't know. They see it as silly. Like they're so above it that yeah. You know, actual acts of magic that you see in the in world are just kind of what child's play to them. So it really helps put it in perspective, at least for me, when I read some stuff like that. I'm just like, what can they do? She's interacting with these ancient beings that and you know, magic is just kind of.
It's here's the line that got to me. What made me think about it is, would you compare snails to birds, human? We ride the wind and race through storms. We move across paths beyond worlds. What can your small feet do to catch us? First off, there is literally a rhyming scheme in that. So bravo, pirate. I heard that. And the fact that they immediately describe literally crossing worlds. And Ryoka is like, oh, you'll be impressed by this fucking human from Nowhereville, this world. Like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know if that went over Ryoka's head. I feel like that would have been a thing she would have, I don't know, like, tripped and fell on her face when they would have said that. At least that sounded to me like a line that would have happened if she was, like, actually, internalizing it, but...
But she was busy.
That's a big statement, right? Like, oh yeah, I've traveled between worlds, and here Ryoka is thinking, what's his face was the fastest person she's.
And in the meantime, she's like trying to work out her flashlight spell.
Yeah, which is a cool take on the light spell.
I do think that the cleverness she shows in manipulating, like, the variety of little magics that are available to her as she understands it and then applying them is impressive. That did impress me.
Yeah, I wish that was touched upon a bit more, not necessarily in these chapters, but I was talking with one of our other friends about he's starting to read The Wandering Inn. That's one of the things he keeps mentioning, is there's just trying to draw parallels between what's going on and how people don't understand or like why they accept some things in worlds compared to what we would accept, you know, in our world. And it's just reframing how you have to think about it, like the system and their magic and everything has always been a part of it. So they just take a lot of things as is or for granted, and they don't think about it too much. Whereas you have Ryoka putting, I don't know, applying like the scientific method to magic. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's an interesting perspective to look at, and wish you could see more of that as opposed to just everyone taking things as is, like, oh well, if it's how the system does it, or it's just how it works, then we're just gonna leave it. That's kind of a tangent.
No, I mean, it's a good one, because it kind of it can make you start thinking along the lines of either the system just has like a lot of hidden depth to it that people haven't realized, or maybe you could get the notion that the system is malleable in some way that you can have an effect on it just by sheer will kind of situation.
Yeah, there's definitely something cool to think about, and it's not really explored largely in part because I think like
part of the bigger mystery.
You know, everyone is bigger mystery, and then everyone in the in the in-world is born and raised knowing like knowing classes and levels and all this kind of stuff, like that's just how it is. So they don't necessarily know or think about applying it in different ways. But yeah, again, just a cool tangent to think about and explore, especially with Ryoka, because she's one of the ones that looks at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Okay. I was going to talk about this, but I don't know if it's super insulting to Pirate Abba or not. But there is the thing where you have to write to what you know a little bit. You can research, but you still have to write to what you know. So Pirate may not have any experience with the scientific method or with breaking down systems and creating actual logical rulings behind them, instead of which is part of why they made the system itself so much more of an allegory and a metaphor rather than a direct numbers heavy crunchy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be why they avoid measurements and time and, you know, cooking and cleaning properly and feeding yourself and survival techniques and just about everything that annoys me about the fucking wandering in. Okay. But
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's this genre in kind of in a large type of way, just like lit RPG. You kind of have to just, you know, suspension of disbelief for some things just for the genre to happen, right? But I don't know. It's something that you can look past and still enjoy the story.
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't read too much else in the genre really, but I think I like the more not vagueness to it really, but I think I'm not as much of a fan as like the hardcore kind of number crunching kind of situation. I like there being a little bit of mystery. I think some things as well, I don't always need an answer to every mystery. Like some things be fantastical because that is what they are.
It's magic, right? Like,
yeah, it's similar to like going back to the Fae. Like I'd never need like answers about their truest origins. Like it's cool that there's things that I don't fully understand. I know everyone will like agree with that kind of stuff. Some people love to just know everything, but I think it's one of those things you can play around with in a story.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in the same boat when it comes to that stuff, but that's a whole other conversation. Yeah.
It's about creating tension for me. Mm. If the system that you create, it doesn't have a tension behind it, it's all so easily explained or logicked out or mathed out, there's nothing there for me to like care about. And at that point, it's just a Excel sheet, and I get enough of those in real life. I don't need them in my fucking story. But well, let's move on. So going back to the chapter itself, we do get introduction to three named characters, I believe. What is the name of the woman? Oh, sorry, not woman. Drake Lady? Drake S? Whatever?
It begins with a P.
Started with the P.
Yeah, can't remember.
I'm really bad with names, though. That's the important part. You know this.
Okay, how many of us here are good with names? Because Paris, you know how
Paris,
that...
Paris.
Paris. It was Paris. Yeah. It's there we go. So Paris, Ilvris, and Zell. So yes. The three of them are interested. So we have the Wall Lord, who sounds like a dickwad from But then again, it's from Ryoka's perspective, and she immediately assumes
it's everyone's a dickwad.
Same thing with Paris. Because if you look at it from their perspective, random human who's literally their enemy wanders into a significant... Okay, maybe not significant, but at least a battle between two Drake armies lost from anywhere. And she's carrying secret goods. Like,
doesn't Ryoka call it some, like, stupid, insignificant battle?
Oh, my God. Maybe it is, but it's still, you're walking into a military perimeter, and you're supposedly a runner, and you have secret goods for somebody that you can't reveal. How many ways can you make it suspicious?
I could understand Ryoka when she gets pissed and all is captured. Like, that's fair, but at the same time, like, come on. You gotta look at it and be like, okay, you know what?
Maybe I should.
That's fair. Maybe I should cooperate. And I mean, because like I think when they were obviously they were gonna search what she had, and Ilverist stayed in the chapter. He had some way to see like some of the truths that she was talking. So he was being reasonable. You know, take some time to diplomacy, work it all out. But
from his
as soon as that stink bomb comes out.
Let's be fair, it was Ilverse's diplomacy, so it included being an insulting dickwad.
Ah, that's Drake diplomacy.
Meanwhile, you contrast that with Zell, who immediately asks a few questions, get all the answers he needs, and leaves her alone. How the fuck is Zell not in charge of everything? He used basic common sense and courtesy and got what he wanted. What is wrong with people? The difference between Ilverse... Ryoka versus I actually think Paris and Zell, because Paris was also pretty logical. Look, I get what you're here for. I'm not gonna hurt you, but we kind of have to take you in. And I could hear it in her voice, the kind of, okay, yeah, you're not lying to us, you're not a danger, let's stand up, but I still gotta take you in. It's just like, it's cop language. And both Ilvris and Ryoka parallel that by being adversarial, dickish, and sort of high-handed. Yeah,
they definitely have the big head syndrome. I'm important. I'm an important warlord, so you're gonna listen to me. And I'm Ryoka Griffin, so I don't know what she has.
End of statement. That's all she needs.
I got some friends, I think.
What does she need? What did you say?
Her name.
She needs. But I could. I can sort of understand her apprehension to, well, everything as well, because it's easy, even if they are coming across somewhat nice on occasion from Perez and all that, it's the kind of scenario where you can't help but think you might get taken advantage of, or that you just don't want to be involved in what's to come. I wouldn't want to be, even if it was like somebody came to me and gave me like a logical reason of why I need to stay there. I'm like, I don't really want to stay in your war camp, like regardless. You're making a logical thing here, but yeah, just,
I can get completely understand that point. And I get it. I can understand Ryoka's perspective, but. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have done the same. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have ever become a runner anywhere. I hate running. I mean, geez, it sounds like the worst fucking job in the in-world. But
I don't know. The worst fucking job is probably cleaning out the sewers.
Well, yeah.
Because
I'm sure you could get some dope ass skill to do that, though. You don't know what a high level sewer cleaner could do.
Actually, no, that's not even the worst. What's the worst job you can think of in in-world that you could get a class for? That would actually grow with you.
Being a guard in Liskor, maybe? It's pretty rough.
No. I mean, let's leave outside factors like Eren out of it. Like, what would be a job? What would be?
I mean, there's some pretty bad, like, irregular classes that I'd have to... I don't know the actual name for the classes. I think they're their name, but...
Better
mentioned later on.
I was going to say librarian, because can you imagine the amount of assholes who would want access to your books, and you would have to, like, convince them to not rip them, tear them, shred them, destroy them, and you'd be a repository of knowledge, and you'd have snot-nosed kids who are, like, lords telling you they want in.
Yeah, but aren't like, libraries not really big in world? Or maybe I'm bleeding over from other series, mainly because... like mass production of things isn't
Yeah, at this point, I don't see it. But you have to remember, if this world follows the essential pattern of, like, medieval structures, libraries are a big deal, if only because in, like, knowledge repositories are very important. Even in the ancient world and the medieval times, the church in Europe, for example, was big on creating illuminated manuscripts and preserving knowledge because they knew if they controlled the knowledge, they controlled the people. If they were the only ones who could read, they were the only ones who could read the Bible.
I get the feeling that librarian might be, it might be a sick combat class. Like, we're just thinking it'd be really lame, but they have this treasure trove of knowledge.
I think it'd be cool regardless, yeah.
Yeah, like, I reckon they get some sick skills to protect.
You probably get some, like, memory skills or something like that. You could probably, like, imagine being able to loan out books that you can just create, but it disappears, something like that. I don't know. You can do a lot with it, even if it's
So you come up with a lame class. I don't see you trying.
Well, the problem is with any lame class, you could
make it interesting.
You could arguably make it interesting, right?
If the person enjoys it, then it's interesting to them. Like,
yeah, there's like the slaver classes or slave or something like that.
Okay, let's not talk about slaves. All right, let's move.
I didn't want to, but you asked me for bad classes.
I didn't ask for a bad class. I asked for a lame one. What's a lame?
That one is lame.
Kicker. Kisser?
Okay. Anyways, back to the...
I know.
I wanted to bring something up, and then we went on a tangent, and I completely forgot.
I know. Fluffer.
Gee dang it.
Would Fluffer count as a bad class?
Fluffer?
All right. Nobody laughed. Nobody knows. Okay, you guys don't... You're fine. Don't worry about it. I'm the only one who knows what a Fluffer is. Okay.
Like a pillow Fluffer?
That's what I'm picturing.
Oh, you innocent children. Okay. Let us leave that. If you know what a Fluffer is, email me about it in the comments, and
I'm gonna have to Google it.
Is this some like weird solicitation?
It must be. It's gotta be. I mean, who are we talking to here? Let's be honest.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, where were we with we were talking about escaping the camp?
Yeah. We're good on. I mean, your general. We did the chapter. Let's call it. We did the chapter.
Okay, that's good because that's pretty much was the chapter.
Yeah, that was the chapter.
It ended there. I think
it's very action heavy after the introductions of the characters. So Pirate talks about their house being a mess in the author notes, and then they make a promise that they won't ever put a mech in the story unless it makes sense and would be totally amazing. So. What can we do to make it make sense that there should be a mech in the story? Because clearly we need one.
I would suggest that a Gundam pilot gets transported into the in-world. It's the only logical explanation I can think of.
We clearly need more weebs.
More weebs.
Like, there needs to be like a voting population of weebs that goes, okay, we need not a harem. What's the thing that you... A best girl? With the thick thighs so that they can all perv over it. And they need...
We need some waifus in the in-world.
Do we have waifus? Don't we all already have some waifus for you, technically?
I guess in later chapters you could.
Okay, whatever. I guess we don't...
We could argue, yes.
Okay, I guess we need more waifus and a mech. I'm just saying, we need a mech.
I say combine the two together and then make a really... Like, I like robots. I'd dig it. I'm willing to have a mech waifu. I don't mean like an android looking one. I just want a giant fucking robot. I would love it.
Just imagine a Gundam coming out of the water. I want something like that.
I want like a really like a giant Gundam, like looks like a proper Gundam, comes out and then just to be all like sweet and stuff. Maybe they get like shy sometimes around people. You know, just that's what I want. Just a giant robot. That's the dream. That might be a bit different story at that point, though.
Okay. Out of the comments, I didn't really particularly find... I found some funny, but we're a little bit on a time crunch, so we're going to skip the comments for the chapter.
I did look up what a Fluffer was, just to say. I just... it is.
Oh, did you? Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
And what did you think?
I thought it was a mildly amusing joke at the time, probably, but it's not anymore because, like, you know, time has passed. Sorry.
You gotta take it from me. You gotta take the joke from me. All right, fine.
I'll, like, I, you
five,
know. I'll let you
I
have it.
No such thing, Oishi.
All right, 2.30, the companion piece to 2.29.
Yes.
In which we start off with Ryoka just runs out of the camp. She's escaped. A full pitched battle starts because of the mess she makes at the officer tent, and she gets led through this mysterious maze.
No. Before that,
I'm recapping.
We have to be told that she has to take a piss in the bushes.
Okay.
For some reason.
Oh my god.
Look, I reread that and I was like, why is this even in here?
Are you the kind of person that keeps track of like everyone's like bodily functions? Like, you have like a...
No, it's just so like she just escaped this camp and all this other stuff, and then, and I don't know, maybe it's just such a Ryoka thing.
When you gotta go, you gotta go. In there. Like,
and then the Fae laughing at her. Okay, maybe that's why it was in there. Okay, sorry, Yoshi. I had to point that out.
Dude, I point shit out all the time, literally, and you just pointed piss out, so I'm okay with that. Just saying. As far as the chapter goes, I think first off, it's supposed to be funny, and the other thing is, it's Pirate's pattern in the earlier books. They were more graceful with it later, but using, like, very normal things to ground what's happening in reality, because otherwise it's kind of insane what's happening, right? Like, she's running.
Oh, no, I did definitely got a laugh out of me. Yeah. And then, like I said, the Fae being the Fae were just assholes about it.
Well, one Fae. Anyway. And then, like I said, she runs, she gets led through a mage. She gets led through a maze, and Paris follows her with her troops. And then she ends up in this place where she reveals that she was hired to deliver something to Azkarash, the necromancer. And we get some oaths and some being, a massive undead construct appears and wipes out Paris and her company. And before she dies, her last words to Ryoka were that she loved her lord. And then right afterwards, we see Zell and Ilvris, who were fighting, essentially.
They were dueling.
Yeah, they were dueling. And then Ilvris, one of his rings, like, blows up. He realizes Paris is dead, and he, like, breaks down. And Zell, you know, doesn't kill him and treats him like a person. And you know, drags his ass back, trying to clean up the fight. Those are some moments, you know. I thought those were significant to me. And that isn't even half the chapter. So much happens in this chapter compared to last one, right?
Yeah, one was a very set up, you know, bigger payoff in this one.
And then right after all this, like, Ryoka appears, Azkarash takes her message, dismisses her, ostensibly lets her go with no interest in having her killed or anything, and goes back to his work, which he's really busy with. And then she escapes by drinking the potion she's been waiting on and running so fast that nothing can catch up with her.
that part was good with the writing was what, italicized and all mushed together.
And that ends this part of it. I guess it's a decent recap of what happens. Now,
yeah, I think the best thing is this whole delivery was for that damn birthday. It was just a birthday card.
It was a yeah. Oh my god, like, people have died, there's, you know, folks could, like...
Like, just all these horrors that Ryoka has seen, she's like, I look at my birthday card, 200 years old, wow, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
cool. You can go now.
Bye! Okay, Muffins, what'd you think of the chapter?
It's really good. Like I said, the setup from the last chapter, you get a little payoff here. There was also... Like, you were talking about the moments with the wall lord. There we go. It was nice to see some kind of immediate, what's the, like, I don't want to say humanization because they're drakes, but you just got a bit more out of them. Like, you in the last chapter, the wall lord just kind of came across as a dick, and then you see him kind of more like a person. Kind of feel sad for him a little bit, more than a little bit, depending on how much of a heart you have, I suppose. And it was just interesting, like you said, like, all of this was for something so mundane And I really like that fact. Like, they're just beings in this world that are so powerful and so removed from the rest of the world that they don't even consider how fucking dumb the whole scenario was until later, maybe.
Yeah, and then the entire time Ryoko telling them, just like, look, I'm just a runner. I got this delivery. You don't want to touch what I have for a delivery. And they're like, yeah, we don't want to touch that. That's some high-grade magical stuff. And then they just keep following her, like, just please stop. Please leave me alone. And, yeah, all just to try to chase Ryoko to give a birthday card to a very powerful individual.
It's a very humorous tragedy.
Yes.
Like, if you look at it, you go like, that's really bad what happened. However, it was funny.
It was funny. I mean, yeah. It's... I remember I told you this, Muffins, war crime, slice of life. This is what... This is exactly what that feeling encompasses. You experience the extremes of tragedy while at the same time talking about pissing in the snow. Like, there's no other way. I don't think there are a lot of stories that do this, and that juxtaposition works for me. I did note one set of, like, sentences at the end of the chapter where Pirate writes, a messenger, a carrier of words and private things, a courier for both rich and poor, a traveler with no allegiance but her own, a runner. Like, I wondered why Pirate ended the sequence of this chapter in such high language, and then you realize, literally the next sentence is her screaming, I get stuck on seven, blah, blah, blah!
What an impression. Amazing. That's exactly how she sounds like in my head.
Yeah, that's exactly how she sounds. I mean, I'm a god. My vocal talents have earned me awards. People have praised me, given me money. I've been a voiceover for porn. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm great.
I'll take your word on it.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's great. I just liked the chapters. Reasonably speaking, Ryoko usually annoys me, but here she acted reasonably logically. Her personality rubbed up against somebody else's badly. And then the tragedy of what happens to Paris is avoidable if she had spoken up. But also, how could she have spoken up and talked about the fact that she's delivering to the necromancers to a bunch of... Like, all of this makes logical sense about why it happened, but from the outside impression, it could easily be, it's your fault, it's just a tragedy, right? No one's quite at fault, except for the people who started the war.
I like the sort of, the insight we get into runner mentality as well. You know, Ryoka's is fairly new to it at large, but you kind of see the significance of that trade in a way, and like these kind of scenarios, you imagine that couriers and stuff probably come up against fairly often, where they have to kind of put their runner code above maybe other things. And you have to wonder, like, what other couriers in the world, what kind of tragedies have they seen on mundane deliveries between super powerful people and lords and all that kind of shit? It's just kind of interesting to think about.
I think it's stated in, I don't know if it was this... No, it must have been the 2-9 that I think Ilveris mentions, like, oh yeah, runners have their own sets of codes and laws that they abide by. So clearly they know they shouldn't be looking into what she has, and, you know, delivery is a delivery and that's what they stand by. But yeah, they just continue on with it, especially after they catch her with Zell, because Zell questions her too and then promptly lets her go because, you know, there's other shit to do in the middle of a war. But yeah, just kind of unfortunate they kept pursuing it, knowing, like you said, that they have their own sets of, you know, codes and laws specifically for these types of situations between, like, powerful people and whatnot.
Yeah,
it is a kind of subtle point as well that doesn't necessarily read as obviously, but Zell clearly doesn't have any kind of prejudice against Ryoka because she's human, whereas Ilveris and his company clearly do. They automatically place Ryoka on a level of suspicion that Zell just does not have. And it might just be attitudes on a personal basis, but I feel like there is a level of animosity and suspicion that speaks to something deeper. And I think it, like, I recall the way Eren was treated by Lissom in when she entered into L'Skor, and how generally the Drakes treated her. And that did come out to me when I first read the novel, the chapters way back when, because Zell immediately seemed to me like somebody who is different from everybody else. He knows what his goals are. He isn't worried about what you look like. He is oddly trustworthy for somebody who's a general, because he just goes up to you, asks you a question, and then just lets you go. Like, he just expects you to answer honestly. Maybe he has other ways of checking, I don't know. But he's not worried about you just because you're a human in a Drakelands, you know? There isn't that inherent need to interrogate someone's existence just because it doesn't fit the mold of what you expect.
I can see that, where it's maybe it's a bit of both, where he's not so much of a snob as what Ilvers was about it, with the typical Drake attitude. But also, I do think, like, they are in the middle of a big fight. He saw someone who doesn't look like they're gonna pose any sort of threat to him, and just asks questions and then gets the answers. Like, okay, well, that's all he's gonna get, right? There's no time to sit down questioning what the heck a runner is doing out here and whatnot.
Yeah.
It was two very different takes on leadership as well, like, between the two Drakes here.
How do you mean?
Just, like, in the way that they treated, like, external factors here, you know, in this war. Ryoka was the biggest external factor going on. She was the unknown, and you see their takes to it. I don't know if it means that Zell was more laid back in a way, or he just had a sort of more innate confidence that she was a threat. He maybe has a better judgment of character, but it was just, they were very different, and it was interesting that among the Drakes, like, even you can see that in their kind of military hierarchy, there's probably a lot of differences going on. You start thinking, are there more people like Zell in there, or is he more like the minority about, like, amongst that army? Kind of thing. Just you start thinking about, like, the, you know, the race at large, and how their kind of their military works, and then you start thinking about why the hell are they fighting in the first place kind of situation.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, is that mentioned, actually, why they fought?
No, there's no mention of why exactly they're fighting, just that they're fighting.
Yeah, and then off of that, just one other side, Oshi, is that I think you can tell in the previous chapter that he was already different from typical Drakes as far as how he handled military affairs, because he did that attack on the camp when, you know, Ilvers would least expect it. I don't know if it's mentioned that it's, like, standard tactics or, you know, what Drake would do, but he does say that it would be the most unexpected thing.
Right, when
so
he
that's
was,
what they're going to do.
Yeah, right when he was, like, discussing why he was going to do the charge and what he was... Yeah, he's atypical in that he thinks around the tactics that people would expect. But drawing away from the Drakes a little bit, we go back to the other significant people, Azkarash, who is given a lot of screen time here, and his servants, Karash and Bay and Venitra, who were sort of introduced last chapter, but they get more screen time here. And you see that they are literal creations that Azkarash has made, servants that will, like, are monsters is the only way to attack it. And even his description when Ryoka sees him essentially for the first time, that his robes are black, but that word and color don't describe a tenth of what he's actually wearing. It's like, it's really well done. And for Pirate Abba, who's not great at descriptions, admitted by themselves, like, self-admittedly, they did a really good job. I thought that was great. I had this intense picture of this scary midnight black figure with bone thread, like high cheekbones, you know, like, looks like Alexander Skarsgård, and flanking him are these creations of bone and flesh, and it's just so scary, very midnighty.
Yeah, his whole castle and entourage definitely comes off as a more of a whole horror than I don't know, just a typical powerful individual.
Yep. Oh, excuse me. How about you, Muffins? What did you think of Azkaresh as he was given to us in this chapter?
Yeah, I was interested in you saying there about like the visuals there. This is more of like a me thing there. I'm terrible at like visualizing when it comes to shit like that. Like I didn't have like a vivid picture as you, but I think it's like I just don't take the time to stop and visualize it, if that makes sense. Like it just I'll read the words and then it'll make sense, but I don't end up creating like strong pictures in my head. But I think that's less to do with the writing and a lot more to do with that I have like no artistic sensibilities whatsoever. But apart from that, it was interesting how kind of almost aloof he was. I kind of liked as well. Like we knew he was some, you know, grand powerful being in that, and I've always liked that kind of archetype where he wasn't like one of those classically sort of maniacal laughing evil kind of villain dude. He was just
evil for
yeah
evil
yeah he was just villain. Like he was yeah. Kind of just like, man, I'm busy, I'm trying to do stuff, I don't even know what fucking day it is, like look at all these servants who are useless as hell. Like it just seemed, it was a very not mundane, I don't want to say that, but in a way kind of it was compared to like the stories or like the assumptions that we might have of a character of this kind of standing. It was an interesting kind of contrast when you saw him in person, at least for the first time.
Yeah, I did forget that he'd spend most of his time, like I think it states like he's not actually like there, his mind is off and many different areas and tangents doing its own thing. Mm. And then only after Ryoka gets there and he's like, oh, these useless servants. Does he actually like snap back and be like, oh, who are you? Why are you here? Whatever. Like, I'm busy. Can't you see this giant monstrosity here? As Ryoka is fearing for her life, questioning all her decisions thus far.
And she has a lot to question, to be fair. But
oh my god. Okay, so we'll wrap up the chapter and talk about the author note, where Parrot Abba says, this is my 100th post. So on May 28, 2017, Parrot posted for 100 times.
Damn, was it really?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
And for their centennial post, they talked about themselves. I don't know, their writing style. I'll share some insights into what I really wanted to write. I want to convey a chapter that was full of humor and realism, but also sudden darkness and despair, and the ludicrous nature of how some things aren't as big as we think. Do I go from humor to darkness and fail in the transitions? Who knows? I did my best, and that's all I've got right now. If I ever truly write a terrible chapter, I'll probably rewrite it. Here's hoping I never have to. They had to. Spoiler alert. So do you think they succeeded in their attempt to write about the way they wanted to convey that chapter, that realism and humor with sudden darkness and despair?
I mean, I think so. I think just what we've talked about kind of touches on that part, from Ryoka needing to randomly piss in the bush and then finding Zell trying to, we didn't even talk about trying to get through the damn maze and how she had to go left, right, diagonal, up, down, walk backwards, do a loop or something like that. And somehow they still followed her through the maze. But I think there was definitely good cut between just like she's just trying to go about her thing, and then suddenly everything just becomes it just goes to shit, and then it ends with her running so fast that her words blur together and she can't stop.
All right, what about you, Muffins?
I agree in most parts. Like we've said, it was a very good blend of the two. And like we already mentioned, you kind of have this difference between the background tragedies that are unfolding in this war, and then really at the core of it is just somebody delivering, you know, a birthday card and then running real fast, and a necromancer who doesn't really give a shit about your presence or your existence in general. And it was jumping back and forth between like, oh, this is really bad, to like, wow, this is weird as hell. So yeah, I did think they achieved that well. I mean, the interesting thing from the comment as well for me is like the doubt about the chapter as well, wondering if it was a bad chapter. There's something, because there's a few like comments and like that. It's always interesting To see, like, even people who I would argue have, like, a lot of talent just always have that kind of element of self-doubt no matter what you do. It's kind of, it's not good in a way, but it's sort of reassuring.
It drives them.
Yeah. I think for a lot of, like, fans as well, like, anyone who likes to write or do anything sort of mildly creative, there's a nice notion knowing that even people who are successful or mildly successful or people that clearly have a lot of talent, unless you're, I guess, really cocky, most people aren't super self-assured. They're just going with it. And if it works out, it works out. Yeah.
And just to reassure Pirate Abba that they didn't do too bad a job. So in 2019, Dusty Salkova writes, I am really enjoying the frenemies relationship Ryoka is developing with the Fae, and the end of the chapter just killed me dead. If I wasn't tired, I'd be laughing a lot louder and longer. This is such a great mental image. I think they got it. I'm good.
It's a very good couple of chapters. A lot of fun.
We can talk about the giant... Well, I'll talk about one email. Y'all prepare yourselves for Mr. Bolin's longer...
It wasn't me, I swear.
Okay, all right.
But so I will send one for you to read next week.
So a Mr. Lewis also sent something. We wrapped up the chapter in case anybody needs to know. A Mr. Lewis also sent us a reader email and says, hey there, I started listening to your podcast recently and it's been a treat. Thank you for taking your time to give the fans a few more hours wandering in adjacent content to consume. Over the past couple of episodes, just finished episode 14, you were asking if anyone knew anything about the earlier audio recording of TWI that Pirate Abba had mentioned. I have some vague memories of when that was posted, but it's been a few years. So one day after an update, Pirate Abba mentioned someone was recording themselves read out the chapters and posting them. I checked it out and they were up to 1.04 or one of the early ones. The person continued on to around 1.17, I believe, and then there was no more recordings released. It was a hobbyist guy reading out the chapters for people to listen to. I never heard about why he stopped recording them, but I always thought that as the chapters got longer, which we would consider short now in TWI chapters, but are still a decent length for a chapter of a story being posted twice a week, he just couldn't keep up with the series or even catch up. They could have just lost interest in doing what turned out to be a major project. The audiobooks coming out years later were a welcome relief. It had been years since I had read the first couple of volumes, and getting the refresher on everything while being able to work is a treat. Sorry I don't remember much on the proto audiobook, but it petered out pretty fast. Thank you for podcasting, and take care and happy podcasting. I'm going to leave the rest out because it's personal information. Thank you so much for sending your email, Mr. Lewis. I really appreciate the information. We did have like a whole section where we were speculating on who were these early audio people were and what happened to them. I mean, it's nice to know that they stayed for a short amount of time, and then I guess it was a hobby thing and they took it down once maybe the pirate asked them not to or something. Too bad they didn't keep it going. But yeah, thanks. And I will hit you up on Discord. You should come to the after chapter discussions, Mr. Lewis. Okay.
Yeah, slide into Oshi's DMs.
Do it. I mean...
They're very easy to get into, to be fair.
I was going to say do me as a joke, but then I remembered I have to be like serious about it and was changed it to do it.
Yeah, be a serious host. Come on, Oshi. You're representing your podcast here. Gosh.
All right.
I'm embarrassed for
you. All right,
you.
Mr. Bolin, who wrote in a very long email. I don't think we can read all this, but both of you took a look at it, I hope.
I browsed it, but don't expect me to. This is an email you would need to have to send before we started recording.
Okay, all I'm gonna say is I appreciate the email. We can't read it out. It's just because it's too long. It would take up too much of the time. I do appreciate it. I have read it. It is really good. I'll read the last paragraph where.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So the last paragraph, Mr. Bolin has a couple of questions. Now that I have told you my entire experience with this, in commas, very long list of positive adjective series, I have three questions. One, Oshi, do you regret asking for new readers' experiences? Absolutely not. It got me Mr. Muffins, which is great. Two, Oshi,
God, I'm gonna blush.
Do you feel that Pirate's comment at the end of Volume 7 regarding food was directed at you? Yes. This is not a spoiler. Pirate wrote that. Well, it wasn't just me. There was a bunch of us. But I'm going to say yes, because I was included in that group. And it was basically telling me that I'm a...
Okay, Mr. Important.
Look, look, it was about food. It was after a long volume where myself and a few others ran a campaign to try to get Pirate to write about food better, and we won, so I'm happy we got Amon. You can't say that. Yeah. I almost said something spoilery, but yeah, we won anyway. He included the comment. So the comment was, I wrote Wandering In because I wanted a story where not everything went perfectly according to plan, even for a story about other worlds. Also because I wanted characters you cared about, not so much to talk about food. That was definitely a direct response to us. After that, I kind of chilled on the food stuff, but yeah. And then you said something in one of the episodes that made me think you sent messages to Pirate about food, and I wondered if this was in response to those messages. Yes. I'm a longtime patron, and I have been with a bunch of people, and we get to occasionally have Pirate come in, or we used to back in the day, where Pirate would sit and just chat with us, talk about gaming, and occasionally talk about the chapter. And of course, because I don't know how to shut up, we would always talk about stuff in the chapter, and we had these long discussions where I would post about different variations on food, like kimchi and things like that, that were not in the story, but should be, because all these people come from all over the world. Why do we all have the same fucking Michigan food? Dylan!
You insulting Michigan
Dylan,
food?
Dylan, it's your fault. Anyway.
Nope.
And there's a three Dragonists. What are your thoughts on Spy X Family? You said you were excited for it to air, but never said what you thought about it. I'm really enjoying the show. I never thought I would enjoy a slice of life spy show. Anya made the show. I can't answer for Dragonist. I'll ask him when he comes back. But I will say he did tell me he enjoyed the show when he got to watch it.
It's very good. Very good show.
Yes, it is.
I love Spy X. Have you guys both seen it? You both seen, what am I saying? I'm stealing fucking yeah. Dylan's account so I can watch it.
It's okay, Yoshi. Everyone uses my account.
So okay. Do I. I am using it.
Yeah, she's spending around the info. No, yeah. I get like emails that say like, "Hey, someone logged in from like this location." I'm like, "Do I have a friend in that?" Okay, yeah, no, I think it's them.
Okay, so we usually round off the episodes by asking a question. I already asked mine earlier on, but I'll remind everybody. What is the lamest class you can come up with for the Wandering In? And y'all have anything you want to ask the listeners?
Man, you gotta give me this at the beginning of the episode.
I told you both multiple times that we're gonna come up with questions at the end.
Okay, you've told me once. Okay, you have told me once. I was here one time last week.
Last week I told you more than one time that we're
gonna
come up with questions.
Well, I only listened to one of those times.
This is exactly like my job. I send five reminders, they read one of them, and then they tell me, you didn't tell me anything.
No, I'll admit that you told me. I just feel like it just wasn't enough.
Oh my god.
Questions. It has nothing to do. Just what's your favorite Gundam?
Oh, that's a good one. Let's hear about Gundams. That's
yeah,
a good one.
I would like to hear about your favorite Gundam. It has nothing to do with the story, but just which one would you like to see in the Wandering In if you could?
Yeah. Okay.
And why is it 00?
Oh, God. Them's fighting words for the Gundam folks.
Like 00 is okay. It's okay. It's one of the good ones.
I like it because I even forget the main character's name, but he is Gundam.
He is Gundam.
He says that multiple times, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to know what you are, especially if you're a Gundam.
I'll second the Gundam question.
All right, so what's your favorite Gundam, and what's the lamest class you can come up with for the Wandering In?
Somebody's going to come and be like Gundam pilot. Like what? That's what their class is.
Anyway, thanks for coming, you two. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Adios, people.
Been listening to No Killing Goblins,
edited by Dylan.
The music on No Killing Goblins was composed by System Glitch. They can be found at youtube.com/systemglitch. You can get in touch with us via our Twitter at No Killing Goblin, or email us at nokillinggoblins with an s at gmail.com.